Tourism is vital to Hawaii Island's economy, and helicopter tour companies play a vital role. But as the helicopter tour business grows, the number of noise complaints, especially from homes along the flight path to Kilauea Volcano, increases. So Big Island residents have formed an organization called Hawaii Island Coalition Malama Pono, or HICOP, to collect complaints about flyovers and noise, especially when choppers fly over residential areas. Troy Scott is a helicopter pilot and acquisition division chief for Paradise Helicopters on Hawaii Island. He's with us to address some of those complaints. Hi, Troy. Thanks for talking with us.
Hey, thank you very much for having me in the studio.
You were saying that in a way that the complaints that come your way are cyclical.
Yeah, I've experienced this. I started the industry a long time ago, about 1985, as a crew chief and used to work on helicopters and then started flying in 1991. And throughout that period, one thing that we've noticed at industry is you'll have groups of people that kind of move into Hawaii. They'll be here for a number of years. It'll become an issue with the noise, and we address it, and things are okay for a while, and then we'll get a new group which kind of comes in, and it kind of has to be readdressed. And that's one of the main reasons we reached out and wanted to be part of this, too, is to talk to some of the community and explain some of the things that we have done in the past and that we're doing now to help out with the noise.
Well, if you address the concerns of people 5-10 years ago, why would those concerns surface again?
In some cases, some people were not happy with the resolution. They still have a challenge with the noise the helicopters make. Mm-hmm. But in many cases, it's new residents or new arrivals to Hawaii Island, and they something will happen or trigger, wait a minute, I heard a helicopter, and then I heard another one. And sometimes it's just an awareness that kind of grows. Maybe somebody flew over low like a rescue helicopter or the military. There's more than just tour helicopters out there, and they're not governed by the same requirements as us. And that might just bring it to the forefront, and then it becomes an issue for some people.
Let's play, if you don't mind, Troy, let me play an audio recording. This is Nicole on Hawaii Island.
My name is Nicole Albright. I'm calling from the Big Island of Hawaii, and I wanted to comment on all of the helicopter tour companies that are operating on the Big Island. And, yeah, it's a growing business. Unfortunately, the helicopters are flying over the east side of the island, sometimes every 1 and 2 minutes all day long. So, again, I think it would be really great if helicopters could fly offshore and then they could just fly way out over the ocean. The companies suggest that that's going to cost them more money, but, yeah, why don't they bear that burden? Why don't they bear that cost so that they can function here on the Big Island in a way that works for everybody?
Can you fly offshore, Troy?
Yes, in some situations we can fly offshore. So the HICOP organization brought up an idea, and they have aggressively sought local and state legislators and some of our national caucus as well about this Long Island plan where helicopters fly offshore. There's a couple of problems with it. First off, in the FAA regulation which governs that, and the HICOP member who spoke to you talked about it, it says right in the regulation, this is very unique to Long Island, and it is because the helicopters used there predominantly are very high-end, expensive twin-engine helicopters, which no one currently in Hawaii operates. The difference could be, let's say, $1 million helicopter for a single engine to a $6.9 million helicopter for some of the ones they're flying off of Long Island. So our challenge is there is a cost, and as the caller mentions, you know, maybe the helicopter company should bear that. The problem is that will be passed on to the consumer. So right now, a lot of people, let's say in Hilo, who do that flight, they do it, they drive from Kona to Hilo because it's expensive to do these helicopter tours. They cost money to do. And if we were to pass that price on to do the additional route, just on the financial side, to fly from Hilo all the way out Kumukahi and then down to the volcano and back, it would almost double the length of the tour, which would almost double the price. Now, someone like me, I don't know if I could afford that. And so what we end up doing is pricing out a whole segment of people who would like to have the same opportunity as everybody to see the volcano from the air, and they can't because the cost has went too high. The other problem is, as you guys probably are aware, an helicopter does not glide as far as an airplane in the event of power loss.
Whoa.
So if I'm, yeah. So if we're flying over the water, we have to have life vests, which we all have, and the aircraft has to have floats. And these floats will let us land safely in the water. We exit the helicopter, and then we're in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anyone who's been on the eastern coast of any of our Hawaii Islands, especially the Big Island, knows that water is not necessarily so calm out there.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when we have some passengers on a tour who are now in the ocean off the eastern tip of Hawaii? Where is rescue? Mm-hmm. Rescue is at Kalaeloa, or Old Barbers Point Naval Air Station, with the Coast Guard. hours away. Mm-hmm. Hawaii County has a search and rescue helicopter, but that helicopter is not designed for overwater use as well. So we're putting those crew members at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And addressing the bigger problem is, as we fly to the volcano, many people will see us, and they'll feel we're right overhead, when in fact we're offset quite a bit in many cases. So part of the HICOP's plan to fly offshore is a mile offshore. Well, all I'll really do is move the noise signature, noise pattern, to the coastline, Hawaiian Paradise Park, Makuu, Kaloli, and flying just offshore, it'll feel like we're right there as well. So it doesn't really address it. The caller has a valid point. It's just the cost would be passed to the consumer, and it's illegal for us technically without floats and life preservers to fly where we cannot glide to land. And then even if we were able to, you're in a situation that if something bad did happen, what's the likelihood of rescue, or what would be the chances of losing somebody out there in the eastern side of the island?
Well, rightly or wrongly, Troy, a lot of the people who are in opposition to you don't care what it costs you.
I hear you.
And don't even care about, you know, safety concerns. Say, well, if it's not safe, don't do it. And the other thing the caller said was talking about a pretty heightened frequency of flights, overflights, you know, every couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. Is that a total exaggeration?
There are a lot of flights. One thing that we've heard pretty reoccurring is that it's gotten way worse. We did an analysis prior to coming here. In many cases, what we have figured is that the actual number of helicopters and the actual flights has not changed much since about 1985, and that's when we were looking at the different helicopter companies.
Mm-hmm.
For example, back then we had Hilo Bay Air, we had EO Helicopters, Papillon, Kona. They're all gone. Now we have Paradise, Sunshine, Blue. So the actual number has went up about 4 helicopters, the best of our ability to calculate the numbers of airframes. And as you know from back in the day when the volcano was going off, we flew constantly when it was 1,200 feet in the air. So the flight numbers has not dramatically increased. It has over time increased somewhat. And what Bob Ernst, during your last interview, and HICOP has done is they've used the Park Service's numbers. And they can be spurious in some respects, because sometimes when the when Pu'u'o'o is outside of the park, we don't go in the park, therefore we're not logging the numbers. So the numbers would have been lower a couple years ago when it was going towards Pahoa.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the lava flow moved back into the park, we have to log those overflights, and so the numbers will come up. So it's not a direct correlation. There are a lot of flights that fly over those communities between Hilo and the volcano. And so we've been addressing for quite some time, how do we mitigate that, or how do we work with the community and find a compromise that's safe and keeps a business that, speaking only for Paradise Helicopters, you know, is millions of dollars into our local economy. On the Big Island, we employ more than 100 families, and that doesn't include taxi drivers, fuel truck drivers, and all the community. So we like doing that tour, and people love it, and we feel that it's a good addition to our island economy. So that's kind of how we're trying to balance that. And how do we work with the community to mitigate the noise while still being able to do something we love to do?
Well, Troy, we've only got a couple minutes, but
yep.
Do you see resolution in the future? You say you're working with the community. The community, you know, you are working with the community.
Yeah. We have not stopped.
Is there hope for a resolution here? It seems awfully far apart.
I think that there is some things that we're going to do. And indicative of this is we have reformed an industry organization. It's the 501c3 called Hawaii Helicopter Association. It's just getting going right now. They've already invested tens of thousands of dollars for a new software program called Plane Noise. It's going to launch very soon. And what it does is allows people to either use an online form or call in, and it populates a geo-reference. So we'll be able to identify on a map where are some areas that are really a hot spot. And in some cases, can we adjust the flight path? Can we take different routes? And we, as an organization, can look at the complaint and the time. We can go into a system that tracks kind of where we are, and we can find out, hey, this pilot on this day was either following rules or maybe he wasn't. And we self-police the organizations. If someone's being a problem, you know, that's not good for anybody's interest. But we're trying to do that to make sure that we can work with the community. Here is a third-party vendor. You can get online or call in to populate a database so we can try to adjust routes. We still fly neighborly. Hawaii is the heaviest regulated altitude of any state in the union. So we are required to fly at certain altitudes. And as a pilot, I can tell you that when I fly over Mountain View and it's a clear day, I'm supposed to be about 3,200 feet is what equals 1,500 feet above the ground. I'm at 6,000 feet. I try to change that and try to get very high, and all of the aviators out there are trying to do that as well, varying our routes, taking different routes, and working to try to mitigate that noise.
Well, Troy, this issue isn't likely to go away tomorrow, so let me ask you to keep in touch with you about this, all right?
You bet. We're reaching out through you and our local legislators, county council members, and people like that, and making sure we educate them, and very shortly we'll provide to the community a website for the organization, Hawaii Helicopter Association, and the plane noise website and phone number, so we can try to work with the community, and at least they know that we hear them and we're trying to do our best to work with the community.
And we'll pass that information on through our website as well. Thanks a lot, Troy.
Thank you very much for having me.
Troy Scott is a helicopter pilot and the acquisition division chief for Paradise Helicopters on Hawaii Island.